this is the 20th episode, isn't it?
Yep. Are we supposed to celebrate?
Yeah, here. I have a slide whistle right here.
Okay.
20th episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to the next episode of Percussion Perspective. You've got Kevin here with
Remy.
And we are officially on Thanksgiving break, so we are excited to take a little bit of a break and a relaxation period and see, hopefully get to see each other at some point over the break, and see family and just get away from the children for a while. So how's it going?
Pretty good, man. I'm actually up at my office. You say get away from the children, but I'm at school right now. I came up to the high school to let some of my kids practice over the break. This is the first Sunday of the break. So I'm up here for a couple hours letting some of my Allstate kids practice, because you only get, 4 weeks to put that, second round stuff together. And one of those weeks is Thanksgiving break. And if you're a percussionist, it's really hard to practice like that. So, let them practice a little bit. So I'm actually up at my office right now. Never recorded in here. So that's kind of exciting.
You're such a good teacher.
Yeah.
To let your kids practice. It's good.
Yeah. You might hear some snare drum and some, probably not timpani. Timpani's far enough away in a different room, but the percussion room is like right on the other side of this wall. So if you hear some random, snare drum and marimba stuff, that's just probably some of my students practicing. So
I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, it would be appropriate. It's just kind of like percussion perspective, background music. No, things are good though. Like you said, excited to get a little bit of a break. Seemed like we just had as soon as marching band was over, we had like 6 or 7 different things all crammed in within, 3 weeks or something. And so it was like really nice to have a full week off for Thanksgiving. Which, did that happen to you when you were in high school? Did you get a full week off for Thanksgiving?
Because
that never happened to me.
I can't remember. I kind of feel like it was always, we went to school Monday, Tuesday, and then got like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I feel like ever since I've been teaching that we've gotten the whole week. So
yeah, that's my experience too.
In
high school and in college, it was just Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice to have that whole week off.
More to be thankful for, I guess.
Right. Yeah. A few more days to be thankful.
Yeah. Well, today on the episode, we're going to talk about solo material specifically for middle schoolers. So we're kind of at that point in our years where, when we get back from the Thanksgiving breaks that we have, we're going to be doing like Christmas concerts, and then we'll be going right into the next season of the year, which is kind of concert band contest and getting our kids solo and ensemble material. So I think we're going to break this up a little bit and do a couple of episodes around this topic. One on middle school solos, which is what we'll do today. And then we kind of want to do one probably a lot more focused on high school stuff, because there's a lot more in the high school realm of solos and stuff like that than there really is for middle school. So we'll do one on that. And then I assume we'll probably do one for ensembles, talk about what we like to play and the process of choosing those and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think splitting this up will probably be beneficial. It's not necessarily, at least in middle school. And when we say middle school, we're talking like 6th, 7th, 8th, right? Most people don't actually take their middle schoolers to a, like competition or whatever, like a solo and ensemble festival type thing. A lot of people, like, we just have our own in-house thing for our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. We just bring some judges in and have them, judge all of our kids or whatever that are playing. But when we're talking about middle school, we're talking that 6th, 7th, and 8th grade range. And it's really more to me, and I think probably to Kevin too, it's not necessarily what they play. It's just that they play something, like giving them a solo to play. There's a lot less material for kids that age, unless you just have a really, really good kid that has, you know, practiced a ton on their own or had a ton of natural talent and has just gone way past the rest of your class. It's generally going to be, you know, pretty easy. And we'll kind of talk later. A lot of the times I end up giving my kids the same solo. We work through it together in class a little bit. And then it's just really to give them the experience of performing something on their own.
Yep. I was going to kind of jump right off of that and say that it's not about really what they play, but about giving them that experience of playing a solo, you know, playing something by themselves, walking into a room, seeing a human for the first time that they've never seen before, who's gonna judge them, which is what a middle schooler is most scared of, is being judged by others. But yeah, it's just a performance opportunity by themselves to play. That is a pretty important thing. They're all going to be used to kind of playing as a group, but walking in there by themselves and playing a prepared piece is pretty terrifying to a kid. So
yeah,
that's the most important part. And yeah, I agree with you. We're pretty much talking like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And that's actually how we do our solos for our kids. So we will have a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade solo night just hosted at our middle school. And, we kind of have like one, I don't know how many judges we get. I just get one percussion judge, and they get maybe a couple of woodwinds and a couple of brass, like a high brass, low brass and whatever. But yeah, our kids just like, they just kind of stay after school. We have like a practice area in the gym, and then they just follow the flow of the room and go in and they play and then they go home. Is that kind of how you do it?
Yeah, we actually include some, like, we do it over at the high school, and we include high school kids in it too, if they want. Where I teach, there isn't like a super rich culture of going to solo and ensemble yet. It's not something that I have kind of started with my percussion kids. They just always did the in-house thing, and they didn't go to like, you know, district solo and ensemble and then state solo and ensemble. They just did their in-house thing. And I get that to an extent, you know, being a percussionist, like taking, like, you know, we played Sharp and Stick last year, and like taking that to a solo festival was a little bit much, like, you know, that's a lot of gear to take. But I just think, you know, that looking back in, or looking back to high school, you know, some of my favorite memories were like going on those trips and, you know, taking solo and ensembles everywhere. So I want my kids to have that experience. So that's something I've tried to do. But yeah, this is a really long way to answer your question.
you could have said yes.
Yeah, it's we do the same thing, though. But I know people are here to just listen to us talk while they're probably not even paying attention. We involve our high school kids too. It usually ends up being the kids that were too lazy to get something ready by February. They do it in like April. They're like, oh, I'll just do it in April or whatever.
Yeah. The reason that we have our kids do like the state thing, or not state, but like do it through the festival, is that we host it. So, which is, I used to kind of be like, oh, this, I hate hosting a contest, but for a percussion, it's actually kind of legit, because then it's like we can just have like the room ready for us to play our stuff in, and it's, we don't have to travel anywhere. And I don't like taking ensembles to state either, because like you just said, it's like a massive trouble to just like, especially something like Sharp and Stick. It's like
it's a headache.
It's a lot everything. Of stuff, and it's always like hectic and stuff like that. But anyway, that was an 8-minute and 46-second intro. So.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, welcome to the podcast, everybody.
You want to jump into some snare drum stuff?
Yeah. You just want to go down, like, you know, some of our recommendations for, like I said, there's really not going to be very many. I only have a handful of books that I use.
Yeah. Let me start with my 6th grade thing that I do, and then we can kind of jump in. So,
oh, yeah.
What I do in 6th grade, and this has just become something that's easier to do. And we had talked earlier before we started recording, but I just write something for my 6th graders, and The easy part about it is I will write it, and then every year I just kind of edit it based on where they are. Generally, they're pretty close. You know, like if we haven't learned something yet, which hopefully I kind of like to use that solo as like, I need to make sure I get to all these topics before I, you know, before it's time to do the solo. So I don't have to edit the solo, but I just call it like, you know, first snare drum solo, and they all get it and we all get to work on it together. So it just makes it, it's almost like we're just learning a line out of the book instead of passing out, you know, 10, 15 different solos and hoping that they all go home and learn it. We can just do it together because, again, the whole process that you're trying to do with these kids is that they have a positive performance at their solo contest. And so they can feel really confident about the music because you're all working on the exact same thing together. And then they can just focus on like trying not to be too nervous and playing it. But having them play the same thing and just being able to edit the solo every year has been convenient. I think I'm on like the fifth year of doing that.
Yeah, I'm 100% stealing this idea. I like that a lot. And I mean, that's super easy. And I like, so you just kind of keep like, you keep it as like a live document and you can go in there and edit like, oh, we haven't made it to, you know, cheese inverts yet with my with my sixth graders, so I'm gonna go ahead and take those out.
Yeah.
But we have been playing touchitas, and so I'll add some of those or what.
Yeah, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's just titled first snare drum solo, and I just go in there and change it up.
Yeah, that's cool. I think I'm gonna do that this year, and I think I'm gonna make it. I might go into like GarageBand and make like a little backing track for it. You know,
that's
and
a good then, idea like, too. That yeah, because then the kids can have like something fun.
Yeah, have them play, you know, do like some, I don't know. You could even make like multiple backing tracks and like, okay, do you want to play it with this?
Like, do you want samba like, or do you want,
yeah,
like,
do you want like a jazz feel or whatever
beat?
Yeah, you could just have, yeah, we could just have that in the background. Anyway, I really like that idea. It makes it fun. And like I said, I do the same thing. I think going through a solo with your class, it makes it really easy, and you can, it's just like, okay, guys, we're just going to go through this just like we do in a line in the book. Like you said, it is like a real seamless transition, into some new material. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, now you're just going to sign up and pay your $10 or whatever, and you're going to go in and play it and get a rating. And then if you get a one, you get a cool little medal. And I always try to tell my kids, you know, like the two things that really, which this is oversimplifying it for sure, but the two things that made me a good player when I was in, you know, middle school and high school, especially, was doing solo and ensemble and doing all state. Like it is really those two. If you're not doing those two things, you're not like pushing yourself every year. So trying to make sure, even as sixth graders, like, you know, you guys should be excited to play your instrument, and you should want to show people that you can play your instrument. And, you know, just said it, you said, I think you said like setting them up for success. It doesn't matter. I mean, some of these solos, guys, that I've given my sixth grade are just like dumb easy, but it's fine because they're going through it on their own for a judge that is just staring at them playing, you know, like some of them are literally like, right, 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 left, 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 right, right, left, right, left. And then like, it's so easy, but you know, it just boosts their confidence. That's a big thing. So,
yeah.
And if you want to keep kids in your program, you have to make them, realize that they're being successful, and you want them to be successful, and then you want them to realize it.
Yeah. And I try every year. We're kind of skipping out of high school. Like I pretty much just make my middle school kids all do a solo. Like they're just going to do it.
Same.
If they end up not coming to the solo night. I mean, I always have a kid that's like, I have a basketball game that night. It's like, okay, you're going to play the solo for one of the other band directors, or I'm going to record you playing the solo. I've done this before. I'll record them playing it that day and then just play it for the judge. So
put
the
it
judge
on YouTube.
Can, yeah. But I play
hashtag
it for the
lame-o.
Judge. I play it for the judge, and then they still score them as if they were playing it live.
Oh, that's cool.
Just so they can like they're not really getting that experience of playing it, but they're at least like playing it for a performance and still getting judged. So
yeah, for sure.
But
and that, like, yeah, you said that was a middle schooler's worst nightmare. That's literally a day at middle school every day. Just everyone that is, all the kids around them are just judging them for everything. So it's like, you should be used to this, you know? Don't be afraid.
Yeah. But what I was saying, I was going to say, with my high school, I try to make, like, I start the season off of like, hey, you guys know concert band is not like going to make you that much better. Sometimes it will. But then I like, right. I'll kind of like stare at the second band percussion group. I'm like, you guys need to be doing a solo. And at the beginning, they're all like, okay, yeah. And then like, they just end up not doing it, or they end up not signing up for one or something. Them, so it's like
half of them bail.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I do too. So, but we're going to talk about high school on the next episode. So, okay. Yeah, that's good. So the first one, I won't steal the book that we were both talking about.
No, go for it.
You sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Weight Watchers. Just kidding. don't they have cookbooks? Feel like they've got cookbooks. The book I've been using, you know, since I got out of, you know, since I've been teaching kids, 20 Solos for the Young Snare Drummer by Kenan Wiley. I feel like he teaches in, is it Marcus? I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong school, but he teaches at a big school down in Texas. I don't know this guy, but I know of him. Really great book. It's obviously 20 solos. And they are kind of like, they get progressively more difficult. You know, the first few are pretty easy. And then they get just kind of harder and harder as you go on through the book. I use this book even for some younger high school kids that are just not, you know, snare drums, not their best, instrument. Like a lot of my kids that gravitate towards mallets, I will maybe give one of the medium to difficult solos out of this book. But yeah, this one's really great. Each one kind of has its own little theme, its own little, like, you know, thing that it's working on. Like there's one in there called Actually Accented. And I really like to go through that one with all my seventh graders because it really tells you, like, okay, can I play downstrokes and upstrokes and taps? Or am I just kind of like faking my way through it? So that's a really good one. Yeah, that's all I got on that one. That's if you're a percussion teacher or even just a band director, that's a book that you should have for sure.
Yeah, I'll just say a few thoughts on it. But yeah, I mean, it was obviously my number one snare drum book choice for middle schoolers because it, all the things you said are true. But then he also does, Kenan does a good job. Oh, it is Marcus High School. I looked it up.
It is. Okay. That's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure.
He not just throws in like good rhythms and good dynamics is the second part. I mean, he really throws in a lot of good, there's one of them called Dynamically Delightful. And it's,
love that one.
It's like three, or you're like, you're playing fortissimo right off the bat and then pianissimo right off the bat. And it just like, and of course your kids like don't see the dynamics at all for the first time. And you're like, come on, it literally says it. But he does a good job of making them like feel like solos, like they kind of flow really well for a middle school kid, but the dynamics are there. And like, as you go through it, I think you said this, but it just starts to incrementally get a little bit harder. And they also get a little bit longer. Like that Actually Accented is 2 pages with a DS and a coda and all that kind of stuff.
Some of them have like some different roadmap things, which are good to teach. Like I know that, I think Actually Accented does. And it's like, if you pass that out, that's a good time to just talk about how that works. One other thing that I wanted to talk about, it's a serious snare drum book. There's some really great things in there, but there's also like some stick tricks and some stomping and clapping and stick clicks and stuff.
And you playing know, like, on the rim.
Yeah, there's just like some, you know, whatever you want to call extended techniques or whatever. But there's just some things that are going to like keep the younger kids interested and think that it's fun too. No back sticking though, I don't think.
No, so. There is.
Are there?
I think.
Is there?
There, yeah. In Country Cooking, there is he's got like da 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 stomp stomp and then da 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 da, and on that second one down there on D, letter D.
Oh yeah,
okay. There is, yeah, there's, it's like very random, but the good thing about it is like he doesn't write a whole solo based on like backsticking or stomping. It's just like,
yeah,
you're gonna have one cool little thing, and as soon as that kid plays that like for their friends or for their parents, it's like, oh, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
He also throws in a couple of little like to edge or to center to kind of like start, oh, yeah, training them a little bit on like, because that's like very marching band stuff.
Yeah, marching band lingo. And
so it's just, in my opinion, like right now, it's like the best. Also, it's like the best bang for your buck too. You can get like a one book that has a lot of really good solos in it. That,
yeah, and that's a way, especially when your kids kind of start like, you know, once they start getting it to a certain age, even sometimes in seventh grade, definitely by eighth grade, you're going to see those kids that are like, well, this kid's definitely way better at snare drum. This kid's definitely way better at keyboard. So you can kind of, you don't have to go through one solo with everyone where it's going to be like kind of, you know, just right for one kid and maybe a little bit too hard for another and too easy for another. You can kind of start to give them like, what I do is I just make like a packet out of this book. And I'll pick like three solos and I'm like, here's an easy, medium and hard. We're going to learn all of them. And then you can perform whichever one you want. That's what I do with my eighth, yeah, graders.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And like Kevin said, it does really, if you can kind of sell, you know, these solos as, this is how you're going to develop as a player, continue developing, because you're not really going to get a whole lot out of full band a lot of the time. And that's just, you know, I'm struggling with that right now with my middle school kids. Like, it's starting to get time to be in full band a lot and they're getting bored, you know? You and I have talked about that scheduling stuff that I'm struggling with too. I'm not going to bring that on here, but yeah, just get them playing solos. And that's a great book, that Ken and Wiley book. And that's, yeah, 20 solos for the young snare drummer. Again, if you just, you know, you'll find that on the interwebs.
Yeah. And that book is probably the last couple solos in that are all could be also pretty good for young high school kid who might be behind, but we can include that when we talk about that. Yeah. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. That was a 3-hour break. How do you feel?
I fell asleep.
I'm just kidding. One solo that I like to pass out. This is just like a singular one solo. I got this off of Tap Space. It's Double Play by Danny Raymond. And he does a lot of stuff for Tap Space, I believe. But it's labeled as a medium easy, just like a 2-minute solo. But it's very similar to that Kenan. I keep saying his name wrong. You even told me not to.
Kenan Thompson.
Ken and Wiley's book, kind of the same flow, very just snare drum solo-ish. But it's kind of cool. It has like a warm-up exercise in the back. It has like four exercises that incorporate what you're going to play in the solo. And that just kind of further pushes those techniques that the kid needs to play the solo. But that was Double Play by Danny Raymond, and that's on Tap Space. And that's a pretty fun one, pretty relatable to kids to be able to play.
Yeah, I don't know that one, so I'll have to check that one out. Sorry, my mic was muted there for a second. I was looking for grabbing my next recommendation out of my filing cabinet here. But yeah, I'll have to check that one out. You said it's like 2 minutes long?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be maybe for a kid that can stay focused for that long. maybe one of your better kids that's going to be able to play it. Cool. My next one is actually, it's a collection and it's for a few different instruments. It's called Music for the Young Percussionist, and it's actually written by Ivan Trevino. It was something that he wrote, I think, for the Juilliard School of Music. Is like some program they had there, like a music advancement program. So they commissioned that in 2022. And it's got 12 solos. There's a few for snare, some for mallets, and it's cool. Like, the mallet solos are not all marimba. Like, there's like a glockenspiel solo in it. There's like some triangle and multi percussion stuff. There's a timpani, couple timpani things. So they get, some of them get kind of difficult, but there are a handful that you could give to some of your more advanced middle school kids. Definitely this is too hard for probably sixth, maybe even seventh graders, but some of your eighth graders would probably benefit from this one. And I'll probably bring this one back up again in our next episode. But I wanted to drop that one here because I have used that with some eighth graders before. There's a really cool piece. I forget what it's called, but the glockenspiel solo is pretty cool. It has like some has some really cool rhythms and some really cool like split hand stuff, like your left hand's playing a pattern while your right hand starts playing a different pattern. And the snare drum stuff is pretty good in it too.
What was that one called again?
That one's just called Music for the Young Percussionist.
Okay.
Ivan Trevino.
Cool.
And he's got it for sale on his website just as a PDF.
Nice.
So yeah, shout out to Ivan, Mr. Trevino. Yeah.
And the last one that I would use for snare drum is in the back, or not really the back, but in the appendix of Mark Wessels' new books. His beginning percussion class, book one and book two. He just has rudimental etudes in there.
Oh yeah.
He's got like five. There's five in the first one. Hold on. There's seven. There's six plus like a graduation etude. And then in book two, he has a lot more. There's like 10. With a graduation etude. So obviously the point is to progress through those, but I mean, those are pretty good options for solos as well. If you wanted to get into those books and use some of those, they're again, like, I mean, in the book, they're 1, 2, 3, 4 to 5 lines, maybe 6 lines. And they all have a repeat of some sort. So could come out to like a minute and a half or so of playing, depending upon the tempo that your kid plays it at. But those are really good too. Especially if you've gone through them in class, and if you've got like one kid that just like is really scared to play, it's like, okay, all you're going to do is play this etude that we have been playing for a month. That's going to be your solo. Because again, yeah, we're just focused on them playing a solo for a person, not just what they play. Because they'll have, you know, they'll hopefully have 7 years of doing this, and they'll hopefully play more solos than that. But it's just the opportunity. So there's a lot of etudes in the back of each of those books that are pretty beneficial.
Yeah, I've never really done that, had a kid play out of the back of that book. But again, if you're just looking at it as, or we are just looking at it as, you know, it's a success if you get your kid to play a solo at one of these festivals. So especially if you're doing an in-house thing where you're kind of just making up your own rules anyway, you know, that's great if that is a way to get a kid involved and to kind of, you know, break into that arena for the first time. If that makes them more comfortable playing out of the book they've been playing out of all year, then I say go for it.
Yeah.
And right, I didn't say that. Sorry, I was going to say that last one. I had forgotten we were sort of in the snare drum section, but that good. Ivan Trevino collection, it does have some snare drum stuff in it too. Some pretty cool rhythms and stuff, kind of syncopated. But yeah, it's got some snare drum things in there too. Yeah. All right. You want to move on to some mallet stuff?
Yeah. And my mallet things are going to be similar to what I literally just said. In the back of that Mark Wessels stuff, he has what he calls a mallet songbook. And right after right after those etudes, he's got, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like more than 20. And they're all like Green Sleeves and Up on the Housetop and Go Tell It on the Mountain and Over the River and Through the Woods. Basically very, very popular melodies written out for mallets. And so you don't have like the stigma that you have to like buy something that says mallet solo online and that it has to be what they play, I don't think is right. I think for any age also, it's like you're playing something out of a out of a technique book, but it's still a published piece, and it's still labeled as a solo in that book, or labeled as like an etude. I think etude, solo, like same thing. So
yeah.
Pick. I've done that before, where if I have a kid that wanted to play a mallet solo, I just will go ahead of the technique book by, I don't know, as far as I want, and be like, you're going to play this, even though we haven't done this in class. This is going to be your solo you're going to play. And they just go home and learn it. So there's many things in the Mark Wessels books that are really beneficial for a mallet kid.
Yeah, nice. Mine is actually from one that I use, especially for my beginners. We're actually about to start mallets. Have you started mallets with your beginners yet this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're starting after Thanksgiving break. And so we, you know, I don't know. I feel like it took us a little bit longer than usual to get like our snare drum technique and everything going. But anyway, the Standard of Excellence Festival Solos books. And this is one that, like, if you're a band director, you might actually have this collection already. But it's just, you know, it's Standard of Excellence style. So, you know, you can buy like a whole collection, you know, for flute and clarinet and trumpet and trombone and all that stuff. And they have different books. So like the book one is really good for kids that are just learning how to play. So that'd be like sixth graders. And it's kind of the same thing. They just, you know, they're just little songs that they can play. They have an accompaniment online, like an online library. And we learn one or two of those and, you know, play it in class along with the accompaniment. And they usually think that's pretty cool. They have some snare drum solos in those as well. But I personally would not recommend that. I would just say play something out of the Wessels book or that, you know, the Wiley book or something like that. But those are, I don't know. I don't want to say, but it seems like the snare drum solos are not written by percussionists.
Well, like, that's what I was going to say. Sorry to interrupt. But it's just like when you can't really beat like Ken and Wiley and Mark Wessels when it comes to like that beginning band stuff. They just like, and when you're picking a solo for a kid, for a middle schooler, like your goal is that they are potentially like, they're doing a performance, but they're working on rudiments. Like they're working,
they're working on something that's worth working on.
And a lot of those solos that, like you were just saying, that are not out of any of the things we've recommended, they are maybe meant to be like played as a whole band, but they, like you said, maybe not written by a percussionist or not written for the focus of this solo has 15 different rudiments in it.
Yeah.
Versus this solo has four different rhythms in it.
Right.
That look challenging. So that's kind of where I think you and I are both coming from, is like your kid should be playing something that is showing off as many rudimental things as possible. And that's why being written by a percussionist can really help a kid out.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I was saying, the mallet stuff out of that Festival Solos book is fine. I mean, it, you know, it's just like traditional songs for the most part anyway, but I would stay away from like I think one of them is called like Rock and Rollers. And it's just like 1, 2, 3, buzz, buzz, buzz. 1, 2,
like single
three,
individual
four,
buzzes.
Buzz, buzz, yeah. Buzz. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is like what we learned. This is like what we did on day one of playing buzz.
That slow chicken in a roll.
Right. So, just, you know, like Kevin was saying, play snare drum stuff that's written by percussionists. That's kind of, I mean, I don't know. We could get into a couple more. I know we're kind of getting up there on time right now. And a lot of the next ones that I have could be, you know, kind of like high school also.
Yeah, for the young kids, for sixth grade, I don't even let them pick a mallet solo. Like, we're just going to do this snare drum solo.
Yeah, if
a kid comes to me and they go, well, I want to play a mallet solo, then I'll say, then you're going to do two. You're going to play the snare one, and if you want to learn this mallet piece on your own, then you can. And again, it'll just be something out of the book, 100% right. Out of the book. It will not be a different thing. Kind of the same thing for seventh grade. Now, when we get to eighth grade, the one book I was just going to say is The Fundamental Studies for Mallets by Garwood Whaley.
Oh, the Whaley book, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a lot of really good things in it, but it has that, you know, that sonatina. Bum, 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 bum. It's got that in there. It's got that march. Bum, 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 bum. You could never get that one down, could you?
I tried. Had to take it off my senior recital. Yeah.
I think those are standards. I mean, I played that in high school, and I don't really know how or why, but I remember playing them. I think that sonatina is out of the masterpieces for marimba book. That kind of started in that too. But
the Mozart one.
Clementi.
Oh, it's Muzio Clementi.
So those are good, and it's got a couple of other solos in it that are good too, but yeah, I like that one because if I've got a kid like in very talented 7th-8th grade kid that wants to play a mallet solo, I'll pick something out of that that's a little bit more challenging.
That's interesting. So you don't let your beginners, well, or I don't want to say that, but you just tell your beginners to do a snare drum solo, and then I usually what I do is we do one, and then if a kid wants to, I just give them a mallet solo also, but it's generally, we haven't been playing mallets for very long. Like not even half the time that we've been playing snare drum.
I guess I could just be like, hey, we're going to learn this together, but you don't have to play this one. If you want to play a mallet one that you can. I guess I could do that. But I think generally if I have a kid that's coming up to me and says they want to play a mallet solo too, if we're going to work on the snare one in class a lot, then it's like, why don't you just go ahead and do it twice? Like do two solos, and that's going to put you a little bit further ahead. You're going to get two chances to. And that right there is like they're getting one step ahead for honor band audition the next year by preparing two solos at once. So, all right, you got anything else on mallets?
No, I mean, there are some times where I have an 8th grader that's ready to do like a 4 mallet solo, but I mean, we don't have to talk. We can just save 4 mallet solos for the next episode.
What do you mean by 4 mallets?
It's where you have like you're holding two mallets playing it, but then you've got like two more mallets on your music stand just in case you drop yours.
Perfect. Well, let's move on to timpani. I'm pretty sure timpani is going to be a short-ish conversation, but
yeah, I'm not even. I mean, I'll just say it. I don't even give my kids timpani solos. If I had a kid that really came to me and was like, I mean, the way that my schedule is structured right now, I barely have enough time to teach kids how to play snare drum and mallets. You know, it's like we were just venting about this last week, where it's like, you know, the wind players in your program, you know, they're in their band every day playing one instrument every single day. And then it's like the percussion have to be good at 2-3 instruments or, you know, even more if you start talking about, you know, our concert music where you're playing auxiliary stuff. So it's just so hard to find time to get good at everything. But usually the way that I let my kids develop timpani is like when we start practicing for all district, you know, that timpani etude. So, I mean, it hasn't happened before. Not to say that it can't happen. I haven't been teaching for that long. But if a kid came to me and was like, I really want to play a timpani etude, it's like, okay, great. I'll find one. I know you have a method for that, but I just don't really even make it an option until they get into high school. Unless I've got a stud 8th grader that's like really great at timpani for some reason.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of how I am still. Like, I don't really bring up timpani as a solo option. I think what I'm going to describe here in a minute happened last year, because a 7th grader just came up to me and was like, can I do a timpani solo? And he like made his honor band in 7th grade and stuff. So I know that he practices. So he did like a snare and a timpani solo. So all I did was the fresh approach to mallet percussion. So Mark Wessels is like his first iteration of his
mallet book.
His mallet book. He in the back has, which is kind of funny that we're talking about this, because he also has a very small timpani section in the back of his book. And I feel like it should be like, if you get to this, try to do this.
Pretty much. That's how I feel.
But I took, I took, he has 5 etudes in the back of it. And I just took the 5th one. It was called Presto. And it had pitch changes in it, which I was like, whoa. But, you know, gotta learn that at some point, I guess. But yeah. I just
You have to learn that at some point. I need, you're like, still, what is that?
what are these pedals for? But I just, you know, copied the solo for him and then whited out the pitch changes. And like, instead of him playing with, you know, three drums or whatever, however many it was, I don't remember. I just made him tune another drum. So he played it with three instead of two with pitch changes.
Right.
And I never even mentioned it to him. So he actually listens to this podcast. So he's going to be mad at me.
Good
for lowering my standards for him. But that's what I did. and it has five solos in it that you could use if it came time for that. So that was beneficial. I randomly found this book, this little solo at, I think I was at PASIC one year. I don't remember, or Midwest, but it's called Triton by J. Michael Roy. It's Medici Music Press. Grade one and a half. It's a fun little timpani solo. It's just two drums and it's got some like independence where you move one hand to the center of the drum as like a boom, boom. And then your left hand's playing like a melody with the other drum. So, it's a fun one and it's like not hard and pretty relatable. It's very random. I literally don't know how I found it. I think I was just going through the things.
You probably did find it at PASIC. I found some random.
I think it was Midwest.
Like that.
I think I was at Midwest.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I didn't find it at OMEA. but we were.
Gosh.
Anyway.
No one from
Garwood. Garwood Whaley. He has a musical studies for the intermediate timpanist book. And that one's got some good stuff in it. Sorry. I'm just like flowing through a bunch of these. Hopefully
that's okay. You have more than I have here. I like all my music is just in a pile. It's not organized. So I was just trying to go from my memory. I'm trying to talk.
Sorry. He has some stuff in it too. Some of the stuff can get kind of challenging. So for middle school, you're not going to probably get into that.
Yeah. Didn't that book used to be used as an all district book?
I feel like it was
the timpani
at one
book.
Point.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I remember teaching out of that book, and I only reason I would have taught out of it is for all district because I don't think I actually have that one.
Yeah, Lalo Davila has his little Temptastic, by Roloff. It's got some fun, a couple little fun ones in there that, but I think again these are going to be like eighth grade.
Yeah, I really, like I said, I really don't have kids play timpani solos until they're at least in eighth grade, because honestly, as I try so hard, man, to like spread it out between all the kids, but it's like, you know, we're halfway through the year. We've now played, I guess, two concerts with about to play. We're in our second concert cycle and we still only have like four kids that have played timpani this year in seventh grade.
Yeah.
A lot of the literature for, you know, grade one and a half or two or whatever that we're playing for the seventh grade band, a lot of that doesn't even have a timpani part. Sometimes it seems like only half the pieces they choose have timpani parts. And sometimes I'm just like, we're not going to play that timpani part. It's like counting 48 measures of rest and then rolling on a G. Like, I'm not going to make anyone play that.
And with our infinite amount of time that we have, it would be really cool to sit down and write one, like write a timpani part. But time goes away from us. So that would be cool too. Or even if it is a boring part, just like write in, if they go bum, bum, just write in bum, 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 write in something to make it like a five lip, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
That was not a five lip.
I was
bum, 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 bum. Sorry. You can find a new host to be with on this, but
yeah, I'll call Jack.
But yeah, a timpani is, if a kid asks, then yeah, be like, sure,
yeah,
we'll
let
do
him
it.
Go but, for it. You want to hold a kid back, but I do like the thing where it's like, sure, you can play a timpani solo. So you'll play a snare drum solo and a timpani solo. Like,
yeah.
I feel like for those, especially those early kids or those early years, they really need to be focusing more on snare drum. Like,
yeah,
you want good mallet readers and all of that stuff. But like, you know, I think we talked about it real early on. Oh, this is the 20th episode, isn't it?
Yep. Are we supposed to celebrate?
Yeah, here. I have a slide whistle right here.
Okay.
20th episode. Anyway.
Do you want me to put that? I'll put that at the beginning.
Maybe, but then leave it in here too so that everyone knows where it came from. A student gave me that. That's funny. And I just, it just stays in here. I look at it every four, months and play it one time. Anyway, I completely forgot what I was talking about.
Timpani.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
A kid. Oh, kids need to let a kid play another solo, but they need to play it in addition to a snare drum solo, usually.
Yeah, the timpani solo or mallet might not be like they need to be working on all those rudiments. Yeah, it's not going to progress them as much.
Yeah, if you're not developing your hands on snare drum, then they're not going to develop on anything else. You've got to have that fundamental instrument of the snare drum. You've got to have that technique going. So
right. Yeah, I'm with cool. you. I agree. Okay, well, right. you got anything else?
This was
else
about 20 minutes longer than I thought it was going to be. So that's good.
That's okay.
I would say if you have questions, please shoot us an email or a comment on, I don't know if that made me sound old, a message on Instagram or Facebook or whatever.
Our page number is...
Right, yeah, my fax number.
I will do it.
Send it over on a dinosaur.
We did get an email from Jackson Forrester about front ensemble arranging.
Yeah, that's right.
We do have a plan, Jackson,
to find
we want to find the right person to interview about that topic, because I do not arrange for mine. Remy does arrange for his.
But I don't feel like I'm that great at it. So what? Sandy Rinnick will be on the podcast. That's how we'll do it.
Gosh. But anyway, yes, Jackson, thank you for the email. We loved it. And we also really liked that you said that you listen to our podcast a lot. So thank you so much. You're the,
great.
You're our, as of now, you're our number one fan.
You're our number one fan.
number one customer. If you can name that movie that Remy just quoted, email that to us.
Yeah.
Email that to us. We will send you nothing.
I'll send you an autographed post-it note.
That's funny. All right. Our next episode, we'll probably chat about some solos for high school students.
Yeah. And then I have a one or two interviews planned. So I think then, we'll wrap up this solo literature in the next episode. That'll be that'll be like the week after Thanksgiving. 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. This episode will come out on Black Friday. So hope that you all had a good Thanksgiving. Hope that you trampled someone at Kmart as is your American duty. Is Kmart even a thing anymore?
I don't know. It's not. Hopefully Target? The seven pieces of pumpkin pie were worth it.
Yeah.
I know mine will be.
Anyway, so
yeah,
this will come out Black Friday, and then we'll do the high school edition of that a couple weeks after that. And then I think I'm going to try and get a couple interviews scheduled over Christmas break or sometime in there. So maybe around the first of the year. Have another interview episode.
Hopefully you guys liked
just, yeah, I liked it. It was really interesting.
Hopefully you guys liked that. we'll kind of just be transparent. The reason that we're probably going to end up doing some of these interviews separately, just because, basically we'll do them separately if I know the person and Remy doesn't, or Remy knows the person and I don't. So it kind of just works out with our schedule better to kind of do them separately just to get some more episodes out for you guys. But we will do, hopefully the majority of them together.
Yeah. We've got some that we've talked to a couple people where we both know. So it would be like, three people on that episode.
That's right.
2 + 1.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Please email us if you have questions or other solo lit that you recommend for the youngins.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Really thankful, for the 30 people that listen to this podcast.
That's right. See you guys later.
Thankful for you, bro.
Thanks for you too. Thankful. All right.
Yeah.
Later.
Weird. All right. Later.